It's 4 minutes past 11 on this Friday, the 2nd of the June, and it's time for That's Entertainment with our regular guests of Michael Lenny. Good morning to you, Michael. How are you getting on?
Good morning. Very well.
And Fionnuala Rabbit, who's fully embracing the blended working practices, joining us, I don't know where from, possibly home, I don't know. Hi, Fionnuala.
Hi. No, I'm down in sunny Galway.
How's the weather?
Oh, beautiful now, I have to say. It's actually really, really hot down here now.
How's the family? Am everyone okay down there?
In Dublin.
Are you going to hold that phone for an hour?
No, I'm trying to get my... I'm trying to connect up to my mummy's lap, my mummy's Wi-Fi, and it's not working.
My arm would be just absolutely hanging off me after a while. Okay, before we get into it, neither of you have started the last series of... Succession yet? No?
No.
Right, okay. It's been spoilt for me. There's something happens midway through the last series and it was spoiled everywhere.
Everywhere,
I'm not sure
yeah.
if it Matt, you're familiar with it as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit depressing, but maybe it's not a big enough spoiler to discourage one from watching it, Fionnuala. You're waiting for it all to air before you watch it, is that correct?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of do a big binge on it because everybody keeps talking about it and... I know it's got. I know even the ending has gotten some rave reviews from people that love it, but the internet has made it very difficult. It's the same way with this week was the last episode of Ted Lasso, and it was very, very hard to stay away from everything once it came out at like 12 o'clock midnight on Tuesday because it was, you know, it was available then on Apple, and you just had to kind of like avoid the internet until you got a chance to sit down and watch it yourself. It's a pity people don't think about that. I know sometimes they give out that you spoil something that's already 20 years old, but if it's not even 24 hours, people should at least have the decency to stay off for 24 hours.
I know. Well, I still haven't forgiven Michael for ruining episode 3, season 2 of Baywatch 2 or 3 weeks ago. I haven't watched it yet, you know. So we'll avoid...
No point in going back now.
That's the one where those kids went swimming near the pier.
Yes, I remember it. Yeah. And people ran along the beach in cozzies. So did you finish Ted Lasso? I don't have a list from you, but I presume you finished Ted Lasso. You were one of its biggest fans, I think, because you've watched it. You know, you go back to it and you know, when you're looking for a bit of light entertainment.
So- I may be the saddest person that you know. Not only did I go back, do I go back to it?
I was going to say we have a contender here, but go on.
I know. I'm glad I'm not sitting beside him. He'd totally be nudging me. I watched it 2 or 3 times, all of it. And even this time with the final series, it was out on a Wednesday, and my Wednesday treat to myself was that I would sit down and watch the previous episode again and then watch the new episode. So I've actually seen this series twice as well in that sense. I absolutely loved it. The ending was exactly what you'd expect it to be. It was schmaltzy, it was, you know, all feeling good, all that kind of stuff in it. A lot of things tied up nicely in a bow, which is exactly the way the kind of show would progress through. So I really loved it. I'd be interested to see what other people think, because it wasn't 100% where you thought it was going to, you know, in your head where you might have thought stuff was going to land. But it did have a nice kind of a feeling, a nice sort of an end to it. And it definitely left itself open to the possibility of there being spin-offs. So that's one of the things that you see an awful lot of talk about. Will there be a spin-off from it? They'd always said that this was a three season arc, but is it possible that there's another?
Could you see the spin-off being him in America in a different sport, or elements of the English side being remade?
I think it's elements of the cast. There's particular cast members and particular characters within it that, you know, generated such strong feeling from the viewers that I think there's a potential there to actually do as a spin-off from it, within, not with him at all, because he said that he's done with it. In fairness, they were right to end it on the three, because this one wasn't as good as the previous ones. Now, whether that was have to do with the fact that we already kind of knew the story. You know, you sort of had the feel for it when you're in three. Like, had they gone to four, I think they would have destroyed the whole sentiment about the Ted Lasso series. Mm. But it was very, like, as I say, the first one was 15 out of 10. Second one was 12 out of 10. And this one was 10 out of 10.
That's a brilliant review. And yeah, Michael, you're going to have to, you're going to have to excuse me, but I've so much to remember doing a show like this. And the entertainment stuff, I kind of can't focus as much on that. I don't remember. Have you watched Ted Lasso?
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
Yes, you are.
Huge fan. Right. No, I wouldn't expect you to remember that. God, no. I mean, you barely remember my name from week to week. So, I mean, come on. I know you're under pressure. I know.
But that's because my instinctively, I want to call you a swear word. That's the problem.
That's it, yeah. Well, we do that off air. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Ted Lasso. I really do think it's one of the best shows to come on in the last 5 to 10 years. I haven't seen this season yet. Nothing to do with Ted Lasso. More to do with the fact that at this time of year, I watch less and less TV. So I will get round to it. Very much looking forward to it. I've successfully avoided all spoilers. I was quite nervous there when Fionnuala started chatting about it because I've avoided all reviews and comments.
Fionnuala's very good now.
She's very good. She's in fairness. She's very good. But it is a brilliant show. I'm really enthused again now that I've heard Fionnuala's review. I mean, 10 out of 10 is not bad. It's not a bad review as these things go. But it's a wonderful show. And as we said before, it's great. It's sort of a non-cynical sort of look at, you know, he's a very sincerely nice person.
Yeah, but it's that part of it that annoys me. That's the schmaltzy sort of...
Unlike you, Greg, I don't hate people, so I don't mind.
I don't mind. I just...
You just don't like that. It's very sincerely done.
Like, I get it, okay, yeah. But that, you have to see when people rave about a show, which many have,
yes,
right?
Yes,
you go into it with your expectations
you do,
elevated.
Of course, that's only human. Right?
And, yeah, and it's the expectations that gets in the way, not met.
Gets in the way.
Rather
yeah.
than yeah. It's been a good show.
Of course, yeah, yeah. Your expectations are high and then that does raise the bar.
But I suppose it's a strong alternative to all the other stuff that's churned out nowadays
big time,
between
you know.
Soap operas and films and everything else.
And the DNA of Scrubs is in there because, as I've said many times before, the person who did Scrubs is one of the people who shaped Ted Lasso. Scrubs was another show that was very sincerely nice and had, you know, characters and it that were, you know, heartfeltly,
yes.
you know, without being... I wouldn't say it was schmaltzy. I mean, I've seen schmaltz. I think it's just sincerely tender and heartwarming, yes. you know, and Ted having his own flaws makes him all the more human and believable.
Yeah, because I've been conditioned to sit in front of the TV at 8 o'clock between soap operas and what have you, I found myself watching Britain's Got Talent this week, some of it. I don't know if either of you saw it. I hope
definitely
you
not. Definitely not.
Because I hold both of you in too high a regard to put you through that. But firstly, I would say Britain doesn't have talent anymore because they're importing acts from all over the world.
Right.
They're scouting. It's clear they're scouting. Mm. And it's terrible. Like, I found myself returning to watch it on consecutive nights because it was so bad to see could it plummet the depths any further. And it hasn't disappointed me on consecutive nights. Absolutely terrible.
Is it musical acts? Is it novelty acts? Is it comedy acts?
It's a lot of kids, a lot of singing, a lot of judges saying stuff that is completely irrelevant to what's going on. Terrible acts, and they're going, "Oh my god, that was amazing!" It's a semi-final, so they're pressing buzzers, even though they don't really do anything. And then they won't vote. They're there to vote, and then they won't vote, and they leave it up to the public.
Public
it's really
vote,
just
yeah.
bizarre. It's crap. It's terrible.
But is it getting the ratings?
I don't know. I would say it's. I'd say it's tanking. But anyway, anyone out there watching that or have watched it, 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or call us on 07491 25,000. Right. Okay. Let me see. We kind of started off with Fionnuala, I think, because of the Ted Lasso. The both of you went to see The Little Mermaid. You know what I might do is take a break, so I don't want them stacking up, and we'll come back and we'll dive into the that's accidental. Dive into The Little Mermaid because both of you seen that.
You were planning that all morning. You were planning that.
I think Fionnuala can attest that she's just texted me the words "The Little Mermaid." Isn't that right, Fionnuala? I can be pretty honest on that.
I know, definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
Back out. It's all going swimmingly. I'll be back with more after this. That's entertainment in the company of Michael and Fionnuala Rabbit. And great to see Fionnuala's got two hands free now. Right, Fionnuala, we can hear you a little bit better as well. So The Little Mermaid, is this live action? Is this graphics? What is it?
Well, The Little Mermaid is live action. So Disney have been doing this over the last couple of years, kind of changing things over to live action. And I, to mixed results would be my opinion on it. For some of the other stuff that they've done, they're talking about doing a Cinderella one now, and they've done Cinderella kind of in lots of different sort of form. They did Beauty and the Beast, which was the exact same thing, which is my all-time favourite. It's in my top five movies of all time, and wasn't crazy about the live action one. But we were very fortunate to be invited to the Eclipse Cinema. We're celebrating, as I mentioned last year, last week, their first anniversary of their, which I obviously now, I'm a great ad for Eclipse. I can't remember the name of it.
The Royal Room.
The actual room that it's in. But it's absolutely beautiful. They've done out in really kind of an old style, I would say sort of a 50s, 60s kind of a style. Would you mind? Because that's kind of a look that sort of goes in with all the movie posters and all that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, the Royal Room.
It's just really beautiful.
Yeah, and they had the Doctor Who poster, you know, the old Casablanca posters. All there's a great love of cinema and a great love of the heritage cinema in the room. And chatting to the people who run the place, it's obvious from chatting to them as well, they really do love cinema, not just new cinema, but classic cinema as well. It was a great night. I mean, there was pizza.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm happy, you know, feed me and I'm very happy. Well,
I know, it's a new thing that they're doing. They're trying to make cinema an experience so that you can actually go and you can have, like, food brought to your table. You can order your food, go in, and, like, halfway through the movie, they'll drop in your pizza to you. You can also have a glass of wine or, you know, along with your meal if that's what you'd like. So it's all very beautifully done. Now, we went and we didn't know what the movie was going to be. And all of a sudden we sat down and what was it? But very exciting for me, The Little Mermaid. A whole new experience for Michael Eddy because he had never seen, if you believe it, I'm going to ring Childline, he had never seen a Disney movie. I am stunned, shocked and partially appalled. So this is the start of it now for him. He's well into them. He's going to be watching them all now. Now, for myself, I absolutely thought it was lovely. It was just beautiful. It was actually really well done. The colours and everything were fabulous. Javier Bardem played Titan, and he just had a real presence about him, even though technically he was supposed to be floating in water the whole time that we saw him. You had the classic parts of it, which was like, you know, the crab and the flounder, the fish, you had mermaid, Eric the prince was out and about. They even added a song and gave him a little song and everything for it. The young girl that they discovered, as far as I'm aware, she wasn't really in anything before she came to this movie, and the plays Ariel is just amazing in it. Her facial expressions and everything, if anybody knows the story of Ariel, it's the mermaid that wants to become a human being, and in doing so she encounters Ursula the sea witch, and she has to make a bargain with her. And part of that bargain is that she loses her voice. So there's an awful lot of facial expressions and everything that you need for it. And I thought she was really fantastic in it now. I was talking the whole way through you're watching it. And I was like, this is young girls, kind of like 8 to 14, are just going to love this movie.
Yeah, like everything, your internet's not fantastic there, Fionnuala. But Michael, like everything, though, this has entered the culture wars. And IMDb have to change how the review system, blogs being written about that it's washing over history. This is a show that's had a production that's had issues in the past with the race of people that have played the lead role and all that. I mean, do we even want to get into that? But as I say, you know, it's like everything now. Everything, particularly it seems kids' movies, gets dragged into what seems to be culture wars.
Absolutely. There's a disproportionate reaction. You know, there's a small, vocal, angry minority, that has very strong views about these things. And as you said, it's often things that they maybe saw as kids and they feel an ownership over the material, and then they react with incredibly negative comments online when like a lead character may be cast in a different race. And this did definitely dog the early days of production of this. When Halle Bailey was announced, there was just a ridiculous response online. And you're right, it does kind of taint the production to some degree. But it's worth remembering, like, it is, it's just the problem with social media and this problem with the internet, it's not who's right, it's who's loudest and who will repeat their views the most, you know?
Yeah, but Fionnuala, I mean, there are people who say that this is set in a period of history in this film where slavery was an issue and that it's not referenced at all. In other words, history has been washed of that. And that this is an opportunity to educate younger people about the realities of life. Again, I don't want to get dragged into this because he's had a lovely evening, but I don't want to ignore what's happening around us as well, too. Can you see how it's been dragged into the culture wars or the woke wars and all that stuff?
I have seen how it's been dragged into the, you know, it was dragged in first about race, that, oh, Ariel had to be a particular race and had to look a particular way. And to be honest, they kind of threw the kitchen sink at it because it turns out that it has every race under the sun in it now. And they're all related to each other in lots of different ways. And it's all, you know, there's no kind of discussion about anybody being from anywhere else. But I do find it unusual when people say that it's set in a period. I mean, it's not really set in any period. It says boats going back and forth and across. I mean, I suppose you can assume that it's pre-air travel and it's pre, you know, but it's, there's no reference in it that it's set at a particular point in time, or there's never, you know, there's no association that that's the thing. In it, people are, you know, they don't have cars and that kind of thing. But beyond that, there's no particular.
I think that there comes a point on certain issues and not all where adults arguing and mudslinging over issues that affect children need to wonder what example they're setting and what damage they are doing to children in the name of protecting children. Now, as I say, there are different issues and different scales, and I get that, right? But at what point is it doing children a disservice, fully grown adults constantly squabbling over some very important things, but a lot of trivial stuff? You know, where are actually the kids in this debate?
Yeah, I agree. Like, if they were doing something, if Disney were, and I mean, Disney's had a lot of historical issues when it comes to race and things like that. So I understand people have a concept about it, you know, and then, you know, whether or not, they're in the middle of a big row there with Ron DeSantis down in Florida and all that kind of stuff. So you don't know whether they've gone to the other extreme now, back and forth. But, you know, in the past, if you really wanted to take the whole historical thing for Disney, you probably wouldn't let your kids watch Kids Disney, because they did some very dodgy stuff in the 50s and 60s with regard to race and done in cartoon form. But these ones that they're doing now, I think, kind of steer away. I mean, that's like saying, like, oh, Beauty and the Beast. Well, oh, my God, that's very offensive to beasts, that we are bringing things into it. Yeah, I think you have to take some of the wonder out of it. They're not making a documentary.
No, but you see, the thing, I can imagine, you know, but in America somewhere, probably primarily in America because it's so divided, you've got young kids that say to their moms or dads or guardians or whatever, can we go and see the Little Mermaid this weekend? And they're probably sat down and told in details from an ideological, political point of view as to why they can't, to protect them. So rather than let them go and just see a film and come out like we did the Care Bear movies or whatever, they're being, you know, they're having all of this, this stuff layered on them in the guise of protecting them. Everything's about protecting their innocence. It's just, you know, adults need to grow up.
Yeah.
I definitely think so. And I think as kids can see it, because kids don't even notice none of the kids are going on saying, oh, God, in the cartoon, Ariel is white and has bright orange hair. I mean, technically in the cartoon, are we saying Ariel is Irish? Like, her hair is completely orange. Like, if it is, she's actually being offensive to Irish people. You're like, this is, you know, this is the whole thing of it. Like, I don't think the kids are seeing that. They're seeing, like, as I said, I was down here and my niece went to a birthday party with all of her friends and she loved it at one point. When there was one little point in it, and they got also, one of the girls in her group got so excited that they stood up and applauded.
Lovely.
They were so into it that it was, oh my God, it was finally, you know, the part was finally happening and all this. It's, I, think you can start to, it's not like as if they're trying to make anything that was set in a specific historical time. It's not that it was like, if they were trying to do, if Disney were going to do a movie that was set during the Civil War in America or set in that time period, if you're, then you want to try and be as historical and give at least some insight into, you know, I mean, in no way could you be given the terribleness of racism into these things. It's for small kids as well. You have to kind of break them
in. I mean, how do you, in any constructive way, bring slavery into that story? So now, whilst we started this conversation, because it was an experience that you went through, and we'll park the controversial side of it for a second, I was trying to sort out some technical stuff. And I did you explain what you actually did the night itself? Because as I say, I was...
It was a brilliant thing. No, we were talking about it there. It was fantastic. Okay. And I definitely recommend that people go down to the eclipse and see it. And, you know, we get very kind of lazy ourselves. And now the Century Cinema is such a wonderful cinema as well. That's right beside us in Letterkenny. But for other people
that doing a bit of heavy lifting, Fiona. I can't believe you've actually become a real, true Letterkenny person.
Oh, my God.
Hold on a second. Can stop the press. We all don't live in Letterkenny. Some of us live closer to the beautiful Eclipse Cinema in Bundoran.
Well, there you go.
But I've been to both.
To be honest, I didn't even know that they were connected.
I didn't know
those two were connected until we were at the
Townies.
I
joke.
You give out to me when I'm not being Donegal, when I say me instead of me, and now all of a sudden... No, I can't win.
But listen, hey, Kabir, we're looking now. You know, the more of these facilities you have, parts,
I mean,
the better.
Oh, my God.
I think you really need to be supporting of them. That's the main thing. Yeah. Is when you have the opportunity, and if you can't afford it at all, you really should be going. And the other thing I'm saying about the eclipse is, for me, I normally wouldn't think to be going there because you have such a fine cinema. But it actually is, and you think to yourself, oh, it's a bit away. But actually, it's no length at all.
20 minutes.
Just to jump into the car. And it's well worth it for the experience of just seeing the way the cinema that they've done there. They've built an amazing building. But this new particular cinema that they have is a real experience. I'm going to definitely go back. They do pancakes, bacon, and...
there's a full menu. Like, there's a proper...
I totally want to be watching Transformers while looking...
Yes.
A caller says the final season of Jack Ryan is coming on the 30th of June. Mm-hmm. It's on Prime Video. The trailer looks good on YouTube. We'll be sad when it's finished. One of the best shows in recent times. Yes. Now, I'm about three episodes into season two. There's three at the moment. The fourth is the last. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, they announced that before.
You're a big fan, aren't you?
Huge fan,
You were kind of like first brilliant, second good-ish. What's the third better or whatever?
You do listen.
Yeah, I know, but it's on uncertain.
You do listen. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, first was absolutely brilliant. Second was very good. And I thought the third was lacking. But I'm delighted to see that the fourth is only six episodes. Because I think that was part of the problem for season three was the pacing. So I think it's probably going to go out in a high. I hope it goes out in a high. I wish it was continuing. I wish that they had kept going as with the way they did with Bosch. Amazon had some great shows. Like Goliath is another one. I wish they had kept going past season four. But some of these are four and done. And John Krasinski possibly going to be busy doing Marvel films in the years to come. Hopefully, fingers crossed. So maybe that's why he can't do anymore. Jack Ryan.
All right, Kevin's on. I'm only halfway through Poker Face, but if Columbo ever had a daughter, aptly named Charlie Kale, maybe a contender. Has anyone seen Succession finale yet? The father was right about them, but no spoilers here, except that I read some of the one-liners were borrowed from his previous show, Pop Show. I see that it was also the finale of Barry, which I haven't seen yet, but must be worth a watch. If Henry Winkler won his second Emmy 40 years after his first win, from playing the Fonz.
Cool. I only watched the first series of that. I found it a bit, I don't know, it just wasn't my cup of tea, but it has gotten some fantastic things. The lead actor in it is like from SNL and that kind of thing. You would have seen him on the Saturday Night Live and different things like that. He's very droll, very straight-faced, and very, very kind of droll humour that's kind of throughout it, and it's quite dark.
Hey, Michael, so, you'll never guess what I saw in RTE during the week.
Yellowstone?
Fionnuala Rabbit.
Oh, I was close.
She's down now. Were you not on RT? You were on RT, the news, weren't you?
Was I?
I saw a clip on Twitter of something anyway. Were you not down in Dublin?
I was in Dublin. I didn't think I was on RT though. News. But yes, no, we were down in Dublin with the Chamber of Commerce. Yeah, we were in the Dáil, which is always a good visit. I have to say again, you know anybody, get yourself up there to have a look. But we went up to have a chat with their local representatives.
Do they have pizza? Do you get free pizza?
They have great
pancakes.
That's why I'm feeling very Donegal person now. That's why I'm feeling okay. Very like a Donegal. Totally embraced it.
All right.
And next week is the lunch, just to give myself a plug. Anybody want to come to the President's Lunch in the Chambers on in the Radisson next Friday? Come and meet Mary Lou, possibly the next leader of this country, according to the polls at the moment, anyways.
Yeah, it'll
so
be interesting.
We'll see what happens in the year and
that's
a half,
on the 9th, and there's still a few tickets available for to come and enjoy
Your good self is going to be there as well.
Yes,
very good.
Indeed. I'll tell you, between that and the award ceremonies, my calendar is full. If I had a 2 day calendar. Yeah, the awards last Sunday night. I just thought, and I've said it off air, I've said it on air, I was flabbergasted. The team did an amazing show. There was a huge turnout, brilliant businesses. I loved the representation from all over the place. I loved how it was all different types of people. I loved the glamour and the style and the buzz, and Marty Field was brilliant. And I wasn't involved in it, so I'm not blowing my own trumpet. I had no involvement whatsoever. I went there as a guest in inverted commas, if you know what I mean. And I have to say, it was awesome, wasn't it, Fionnuala?
Oh yeah, no, the team at the station did an amazing job, and as with everything that our team does, they always give it 110%. But it was just fantastic. But it was just amazing to see so many small to medium businesses, because really that's what they were. You know, a lot of them were like family. I mean, the Shamrock Bar that won Pub of the Year, and it was fantastic. I actually happened to be getting my photograph taken with them when they went into the other room with their award. And like the four generations of their family now have been in that pub, and they had three of those generations were there for the collection of the award.
It was lovely because I was announcing that one, and I remember it, and it felt like something special. And family butchers, alterations and repairs, obviously then the chemists and all that. There was just a lovely feel to it, and I actually genuinely am already looking forward to next year. We'll try and sneak you in. I'll tuck you in underneath my three-piece, Michael. We'll get you in. All right,
I couldn't bring him. I was going to bring him, and then Sean wouldn't give me any tickets. No, it was sold out.
He was pretty tight on those now, which I wasn't, I wasn't happy about. I thought he was a wee bit tight, you know.
But it was such a demand.
And credit to the Mount Argyle as well, because the room was laid out beautiful. You went in and you thought, big's about to happen here. Okay. Yeah. Right, we're going to take a quick break. Stay where you are. Say that again, Fionnuala.
That it was easier to get 9 Horan tickets than it was to get tickets to...
Yeah. Well, he's announced a third date, so it'll probably be a little bit easier, but I understand it's just an analogy. I'm right across all popular culture. All right, we'll be back with more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. Now, the 44th Celtic Media Festival, the International Summit of Sound and Screen, takes place in beautiful Dunloe from the 6th to the 8th of June at, again, another beautiful venue, the Waterfront Hotel. The director of the Celtic Media Festival is Katrina Logan. Good morning, Katrina. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you with us. Okay, so talk to us about the busy programme that's coming up over the 2, 6, 7, 8, 3 days.
Yeah, so we're so excited to be in Donegal. The festival itself moves location every year. And so this is the first time we've been back on the island of Ireland since 2016. So being a native myself, I'm absolutely delighted to be bringing the festival home. We have 3 days of media industry events, about 300 to 400 media industry professionals from the UK, Ireland, wider Europe, America, coming across to have conference sessions, awards, parties, and hopefully we'll be able to showcase Donegal as a great space for media and hopefully location filming and things like that as well. So we're really excited to come over.
Yeah, and that ties on with a push on at the moment, isn't there, to sort of, get people back involved in the industry, back to Donegal, that we've become a more attractive place to generate content.
Absolutely. It's becoming more and more accessible, and it's great to see the flights from Glasgow to Donegal coming back this summer, because there's a huge amount of crossover in terms of filming as well between Scotland and Ireland. And we really want to see that pushed a little more. I don't think people realise how easy it is to get to Donegal from places like Dublin, and we're actually flying people up from Dublin, and they can't believe the speed and the shortness of the flight and stuff. So we're really excited to bring that up, and to see a lot of more content makers coming up and to Donegal. I know of a few companies that have opened recently up there, and people coming home from London and Glasgow and setting up their companies there. And it's really great to see that filming happening up there and expanding, you know.
Yeah. And what would you say the focus of this event is? An awful lot of it seems to be on in terms of content creation, be it individuals or companies, how you can, I suppose, you know, with the best wood in the world, if you want to create something and be incredibly popular, it probably has to go beyond the boundaries of Ireland to some extent too, to a global audience.
Sure. So kind of a couple of things we concentrate on. Every year, Indigenous Celtic languages are something that we really focused on. The festival was started 45 years ago, because there was a lack of Indigenous language broadcasters in the UK and in Ireland. And, you know, we can see the success of these broadcasters now, the success of On Colleen Kewan getting nominated for Oscars and pushing that forward. Content creation is huge. The story will always transcend the language, as we saw with On Colleen Kewan, an incredible film. Beyond that, what's really important for Irish makers, and as well kind of across the nations and regions, Celtic nations and regions, is international co-production. Gone are the days where a broadcaster will step in, or even a distributor will step in and say, we will pay you this much for your whole film or your whole TV show. It's about generating that money from other places, and international co-productions are something that is becoming more and more popular and hopefully will continue. And it means that you're getting creatives from different spaces working together, and it's been shown to be hugely successful.
And also in terms of the output, you can see it really in production values often in that regard. And finally, in terms of public attendance, what's the situation there? Is this industry only? Do you have to register? Do you have to pay? What's the story there finally, Katrina?
Sure. So it is an industry, primarily an industry-only festival, but we have one session that we'd like to invite the public to free of charge. If they email us, we'll make sure that we get them a seat if we can, obviously seats permitting. If they email info@celticmediafestival.co.uk, mm-hmm. That session is Miriam O'Callaghan will be interviewing the makers, the producer and director of On Colleen Kewan, about you know, the Oscar success, how they made the film. Obviously, it's the most successful Irish language film of all time. It's been, you know, described as the perfect film by Rolling Stone magazine. And the makers will be with us, and Miriam O'Callaghan will be interviewing them. So if people would like to attend that free of charge, they just need to email us at info@celticmediafestival.co.uk, and capacity permitting, we'll hopefully get them a pass for that.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. I appreciate that. That's Katrina Logan, director of the Celtic Media Festival. I have to put a filter on, do you know that sometimes? We host a lot of things here in Donegal in the Northwest, and they're fantastic. But sometimes things have to be hosted in Dublin or elsewhere for us to get invites to things, if you know what I mean. Anyway, I'm not getting into that, but I just, you know, as the biggest media organisation here in the Northwest. But anyway, be that as may, I wish them all the success in the world. Katrina Logan there. Okay, Narvik.
Yes.
That's you. Okay. Wake up.
Yes. Before I mention Narvik, can I just go back to that text message? And I have to say, that brand new show, Poker Face, that's on Sky, I so endorse that text.
Oh, come here. It's on your list. Go straight to that. Sorry, I didn't see
it. No, the reason I put that is just it's brand new, and I really want to point people towards it. I love this show. I agree with that text. It's just
what is it then? Review it.
Yeah, I will review it. So basically, I give up to a challenge. Natasha Lyon, right, who has done shows like Orange is the New Black and Russian Doll, and Ryan Johnson, he's the guy who makes those Daniel Craig movies, the Glass Onion. What was you had another name for that? Something
Onion Island?
Onion Island or something like that, yeah. And Knives Out. So they've gotten together. She's a co-creator on this and she's the star of this. And it's basically very much a deliberate attempt to do a show like Columbo, do a show like Rockford Files.
So and Kevin was on the button?
Oh, on the button, 100%. And they've said that, and there's a great interview out there with Natasha Lyonne just casually name-dropping all these 70s detective shows. The Fugitive is another big influence on it. So it's a really smart, and again, if you've seen Knives Out, if you've seen the Daniel Craig movies, you know it's going to be smart. It's a very smart weekly whodunit, very much in the style of the classic detective shows that really aren't being done anymore, yeah. Which is why they decide to do them. Natasha Lyonne, we find out, I'm going to leave out some of the details, but all you need to know really is that she was a very successful poker player and she has been banned from every casino in America because she can always spot a lie. She can always tell. It's almost like
I
a
get you, right? It's almost like a premise.
Oh, great premise. Yeah. And that's the only thing you have to accept.
Is it played straight, is it?
So it's basically as straight as Rockford Files or Columbo was. Right. I mean, they're humorous. She will be moving from town to town in the series, driving around. And as she arrives in each town, there's a murder, very much a la Murder, She Wrote or all those shows. And all it needs, and you just have to accept the premise, she's maybe in the local news agent and somebody's talking about something and they're like, oh, John, you know, somebody who's just won the lottery and everyone's celebrating them and they say something like, yeah, John next door, he always did the lottery, but he never had any luck.
Yeah.
And then she'll do that thing in the camera movie and she knows they're lying.
So her superpower is her intuition.
Intuition.
Okay.
And then she just becomes this annoying person who is digging and digging and digging. It's none of her business, but she knows something's not right and she'll just keep turning things over until she gets them. And what's beautiful about this show is, and this is why it deserves all the praise it gets and all the comparisons it gets to Columbo, it's every bit as clever. I mean, I've seen most of the first season. It's every bit as clever as Columbo was. There are some really lovely clues and some really lovely gotchas. And that was the big thing about Columbo. I'm a huge Columbo fan. 4 episodes from the end of a complete rewatch of Columbo at the moment. And that's the thing Peter Falk always talked about. The difficulty they had getting great clues at the start. The one clue that would tell Columbo what had happened. And the gotcha at the end where he's face to face with this evil radio host called Greg and he said, but Greg, we know that wasn't a live broadcast because, and then he'll have the bit of evidence or whatever, and it's always really clever and they do it. This show does that.
Do you know the funny thing is though, it's catching someone in a lie effectively. And
yes.
You know, one of my favourite shows, just for dipping in and out of, is The First 48. I've described it before. It's from the 99 call to the conclusion and it's all no talking heads, it's all on. But it's a lot of that in real detective work. Because what they do in the interviewing process is they get someone on a story that their story is right? And they don't challenge them at that point, but then they challenge that story with the facts. And it gets to a point, and you often see it, where they have to admit, because, you know, so it is really art imitating life.
Yes.
Have you seen Poker Face at all, Fionnuala?
I actually downloaded to watch it, to review it, because Michael has talked about it before to me. So highly, and then I kind of got distracted by another show that just started on Sky, and so they have a couple of new shows coming up. So I kind of got distracted by the White House Plumbers.
We'll talk about that after the break then. So what are you giving Poker Face out of 10 at this point?
Solid 9 out of 10. It's great.
And how many episodes are available?
There are available. They're, I think over here you've got 3 episodes in. I think the third one is probably tonight. It might be, yeah.
Okay.
So 3 of 10 at the moment is all available. I don't know where they all stream. I know they're broadcasting them on the week.
I get you. Episodically, weekly. Okay, back in a sec. We'll have a look forward to the weather for the next 7 to 10 days after these two. Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Alan. So what's the story then? What's the crystal ball? It's slightly more technically advanced than a crystal ball, but you know what I'm saying. What have we got for the weekend and into next week?
Well, the weather is stuck. The high pressure is stuck out to the northwest of us, so it's keeping all that wind and rain and everything else away from us. The worst of it is going to be a bit of cloud. That's as bad as things are going to get, is some clouds. But there will be lots of sunshine, lots of sunny spells, dry, lovely weekend, same into next week. The only difference really is that northeasterly breeze. I mean, yesterday I was looking, Malin Head was about 14 degrees. And just if you came inland, even, you know, towards Derry, it was 19 degrees. And further inland in Donegal, it was 21 degrees. So if you're heading to the coast, it will certainly be cooler, especially on the north coast. So maybe head west instead of north if you're in Donegal and you're looking for a beach.
And is there any break in the weather on the horizon?
Not really, no, not for the next week. Beyond that, there's low pressure out to the southwest that's bringing all the thunderstorms and rain to everybody heading on their sunny holidays in Spain and Italy and France. And that's going to try and disrupt us, but it doesn't look like that high pressure is going to give in too easily. So no real rain in the next 10 days. You might get the odd tiny little shower possibly in the next, maybe in the 7 to 10 day range, but at the moment, it looks like high pressure is really going to dominate. So no sign of any rain in the reliable time frame.
And just very finally, obviously, the wind, if wind is changing direction, is that likely to see it warm up on the east coast and us to see slightly more cloudier conditions over the next week? Or what is that? What are the models telling you?
Yeah, very little change in the wind direction for the next 7 days, really. It could change after that, but that's a little bit uncertain. But we're kind of stuck in an easter, northeasterly wind. So that doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon, which isn't keeping Dublin people too happy, but sure, well, they get enough of everything else
exactly
down there.
Yeah, Alan Mio, you won't lose any sleep over that. Can we? You enjoy banging those ice cream cones into yourself and have a lovely weekend. Thank you. Thanks for your time, Alan. Take care of yourself.
Cheers, Greg. Enjoy.
All right, bye-bye. Alan O'Reilly, Carlo Weather there. I don't know. It's kind of strange that we're getting this long spell of good weather. Right, OK, the show that you were going to talk about, sorry, Fionnuala, save me opening the phone again.
Yeah, no, the show is called The White House Plumbers. So I went in, sat down, and was all ready to watch Poker Face, and suddenly this popped up. Poker Face, just the show, it's also available. You can download the whole lot on Sky. And the same thing with this White House Plumbers. It's on week by week, but you can also download the whole lot in it. So there's 5 episodes of it. The stars of it are Woody Harrelson and Justin Theroux, 2 actors, which I like, but you don't really see them in stuff. Although Woody Harrelson tends to pick oddly quirky stuff now. So I was like, and I actually had seen them being interviewed on an American talk show. So I was very curious about it. The White House Plumbers is obviously not about plumbers. What it is in 1971, everybody might know about the Watergate, and there was one CIA agent, Hunt was his name, and the second guy then was Gordon G. Liddy, he's an FBI guy, and the two of them ended up getting together in order to plug the leaks that Nixon's government assumed was happening. And that's why they call themselves the Plumbers, because they plugged the leaks. And in doing so, they actually managed to bring down Nixon. And it's when you watch this show, it is, first of all, it's beautifully set and shot. It's very kind of 70s, real kind of a gritty look about it. Everybody's got the long hair and they're chewing and it's all misogyny and smacking the secretary on the backside and all that as she walks past and all that kind of stuff. So it's very,
Michael's going to love it.
Yeah, it's very much set in the time. But and I love the very start of it, because the very first thing that it says is that this is a true story. No names have been changed to protect people because everybody's in jail.
I love it.
And it goes from there. But I have to say, if either of those gentlemen are alive today, they would not be happy with their portrayal because they do not come across as the smartest bunch of people. Some of the stuff that they do is just like insane, but also it's in a historical context, so it's interesting. So you've got one side of it, which is in, if you're watching this, it's just some crazy ass drama where they're just like literally like they want to break into a place. So in order to kind of keep it quiet, and when the first episodes, they end up, they can't find what they're looking for, so they accidentally ransack the place. So then they pretend that it was drug dealers that did it by throwing drugs all around the room. And it's like, what drug dealer breaks into an office and then leaves drugs behind by spraying the whole room with them? So it's all that crazy kind of stuff. But then on the back of it, then you also have the historical context that it's set in, and the fact that, like, I never realized that they made 5 or 6 attempts at break-ins, you know, as part of the Watergate thing before they finally really knocked it out of the park. There's a lot of other periphery characters whose names people will be familiar with if they have an interest in that particular time and era. And
sounds brilliant. So what would you give it out of 10, Fionnuala?
Well, I'm two into it now so far, and I have to say I am really enjoying it.
I look forward to that too, I think.
Yeah, it is good now. Harrison is, as usual, you know, doesn't move his lips when he talks. Thoreau is, you know, this wonderfully enthusiastic, really wants to get ahead in life, doesn't realise that he may actually be a Nazi because Danny was a German who played him Hitler's speeches in order for him to have more confidence when he set out the door.
All right, brilliant stuff. Okay, that sounds good. Trading Places, Channel 4 in a couple of minutes, Michael.
This was on a few weeks ago, yeah. It's funny you mentioned G. Gordon Liddy, because G. Gordon Liddy of the Watergate scandal became an actor. And he was in lots of movies and TV shows. He was on a show called 18 Wheels of Justice, a syndicated action show of the 1990s. I love Greg's face as I say that. It was about a trucker,
of course,
who fought crime. But G. Gordon Liddy was asked and offered a role in Trading Places, the Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd film. He turned it down. So they ended up casting someone else. But Liddy had a book out about Watergate. So they gave the character that book to read on the train. And you're like, why is he reading G. Gordon Liddy's book? Yeah, this was on Channel 4 a couple of weeks ago. I threw it out.
Down to 20 seconds now.
It's a classic film that, in my opinion, holds up perfectly and is every bit as funny. I hadn't seen
Not
it in over
sure
30
I've
years.
Seen it. Okay, brilliant.
Oh, it's so good.
Worth a watch. Okay, and Beverly Hills Cop's down there too. So we're in a bit of a
Eddie Murphy, yeah, because number 4 is coming.
Okay, come here. We'll maybe talk about that as a preview to it. Fionnuala Rabbit, thank you very much indeed. Have a lovely weekend. Best wishes to all the family down there. Michael Eddie, thank you as always. We really do appreciate you coming
great
up
fun.
And
great fun.
Being part of our team here. It's great. Okay, great thanks fun. Very much, Michael. That's where we have to leave it on the programme today and for the week. Have a lovely, wonderful weekend, please. Go out and enjoy the weather if you can, but please, if you're out in the water, be extra, extra safe around the boats and paddling and all that kind of stuff, because we're all going to rush to the beach, as I say, if we're lucky enough to have access to it. And it's just that one slight lapse in concentration can lead to disaster. So be extra careful, and please don't block the piers for the emergency services if you can, or access to them. Have a lovely weekend. We'll chat next week.